This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
but it's
Don.
Not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Wow, that was nice. New intro? Thank you, Anthony. What did I do to deserve this?
I just figured it was time.
Wow, I'm touched. And I like that you included the J-Lo clip because you know that's going to get Michael's goat every day.
Why would he get?
Because you're going to hate on the fact that it's J-Lo referring to me as the very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg. It's got to just kill you.
Not a bit. Happy for you.
Do you remember, Don, when Alex? Yeah, right.
Look, happy for you.
Yeah. Don, do you remember when Alex was with J-Lo?
I'm not sure. How can anybody forget?
And when Alex would call the show, Michael would ask questions about J-Lo, and then Alex would be like, you know, she loves Peter. Do you remember him asking basically, why not me? What about me? You remember that?
That's always the way it goes. Yeah, of course.
Oh, it's a great job by Anthony. Great job out of you. Welcome to ENN. It's brought to you tonight by our friends at Sloman's. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Peter.
I'm glad he got that because I was very curious to see.
It was very
Peter.
Strange.
To hear that again.
What?
Let's hear
Peter.
It again.
Michael, any thoughts on what happened there?
I don't remember making that sound. I remember mispronouncing Peter, but I don't understand going at the end of it.
But it's better than judge. Are you kidding me?
It's illuminating.
Good evening to Don.
Guy hate parades.
What?
Guy hate parades.
And good evening to Michael again.
The ball didn't go out and it ruined their day.
And lastly, good evening to myself.
I know!
By the way, a listener on Twitter pointed out that when you said... that I know came when you said that if we did a Yankee curmudgeon contest every day, you said it would be like Ollie Frazier every single day. And my response was,
I know!
That was just me regular talking. I wasn't making a joke.
No, but you were legitimately excited. Like
I didn't
you
know
100%
I...
agreed. That's I your 100% did... agree voice.
But that... he doesn't like that he sounded that way.
No! I didn't know that was my 100% agree voice.
Oh, sure.
You know what? It's funny. Over the last couple of days, you've said this a lot. I know. And you sound like Monica, who says that a lot in Friends.
I know.
It's amazing. Like, over the last 3 days, you've probably said it 8 times.
You're lying.
No, I'm serious. I noticed it because I've been watching a lot of Friends when I get back to the hotel room on Nickelodeon. It's on all night. And she goes, I know, all the time.
Wow.
Interesting.
I did not notice that.
I know.
I know.
It's worrisome. I sound like Passan when he does Elmo.
Right. Right Passan's doing it on purpose. You're just like doing it.
But he's being genuine. That's all.
I'm having a genuine moment. Don't you know? If you're late to the program, I got engaged over the weekend. Okay?
Yay!
I'm feeling good. Natalie and I are talking about different venue and food options commercial breaks. I'm considering, guys, doing it at some sort of venue, not like a big wedding hall, more like a club kind of venue. And for food, Don, instead of like Fugazi catering where you're spending, $100 a plate for everyone to have a dry piece of steak, I'm thinking about bringing in some of the best food New York has offer. Because I'm marrying Miss Hatton, right? So it's only right that you'd go to one state, you'd have a Katz's station and a Jacob's Pickles station. You know what I mean? A Shun Lee station.
I love where your head's at.
Do you like what I'm thinking? Because otherwise, we end up spending so much money for people to get a piece of steak. Have you ever, now tell me the truth, maybe Michael, who spent a lot of money, it was different. But how often do you leave a wedding going, that was the best piece of steak I've ever had?
I got a steaming hot Domino's on my chest.
Oh, you get like some places are just really known for their food. Where I had it at Seasons in Washington Township, New Jersey, they're kind of like known for their food. So
that's what makes it. That's what their calling card is.
Yes, and the desserts and everything. But usually you don't get a lot of choices. That's the thing. Even if it's a good steak or a good piece of chicken or salmon or fish or whatever, it's usually not necessarily like a lot of great choices. But you sound like you're having fabulous stuff. Like my dream wedding was to be like, just all right, have a menu. If somebody wants a hamburger, make that man a hamburger. Guy wants a steak, make him a steak.
Oh,
I was told if you do that, it'd be just way too expensive. Oh, Peter, that should be an issue for you.
I don't know about that, but I think, listen, if you have multiple stations, like imagine a Katz's station.
Oh, come on.
And you're hungry, you're having a drink, and you go, you know what? I'm going to go have a half a Reuben right now. And they just hook you up a Reuben real quick. You know what? I want some fries. I'm going to have a hot dog. Oh, and then 2 hours later, you've been hanging out, you've been drinking, you want to go to the delicious pizza, New York Pizza Station.
I really like what you're doing there.
Thank you. And the DJs at this wedding, forget it. We were going to go to Royal Farms in Delaware and pick up chicken.
Will you have Royal Farms chicken?
It's a great question. Royal Farms chicken is a delight. I don't think we'll have Royal Farms, though. It's not going to carry well enough. Crispy fried chicken, it's not going to last all the way up.
It doesn't travel well.
Yeah. It's one of the down things about fried chicken. You got to have it right then when it's hot and crispy. Let's talk about Jaden Ivey. You know, the NBA draft is tomorrow. We just talked to Seth Greenberg about it. And Jay Billis was on with Greeny earlier talking about how Ivey would fit in with the New York Knicks.
Jaden Ivey of Purdue is a good fit anywhere. He's got the speed and explosiveness of a Ja Morant. Like, he's unbelievably fast in the open floor and fast with the ball and explosive getting the rim. But he's got sort of the length of a Dwayne Wade. He's not quite as strong as Wade became, but he's got a lot of game and he can shoot it. I think he still needs to become a more focused defender because with that length and athleticism, he should impact the game more on the defensive end than he did last year. But he's capable of it, and he's a really solid young man too, but I'm a big fan of his. I mean, I think you could make an argument that he should be taken higher, but when you've got talents like Smith and Holmgren and Banchero in front of you, you're more likely to see him go at four, but he doesn't drop down more than that. He'll be taken at four.
I've always found it very humorous, guys. They talk about these kids not playing defense. Who exactly in the NBA plays defense? I mean, there are certain players that do. But if you're going to eliminate people from being drafted or, like, downgrade them from being drafted, nobody plays a lot of defense in the NBA. Nobody.
You know, speaking of the NBA, well, let me finish this out. Remind me, Don, to say what I was going to say about the NBA.
Okay.
Remind me. But before we let's stay with the Knicks for a second. Our good friend Stephen A. Smith was on First Take earlier, and he said the New York Knicks have to consider making a run at Kyrie Irving.
I don't know if I could say no to Kyrie. I don't know. If I'm a Knicks fan, I don't know if I could do that.
Look, man, desperate times call for desperate measures. And this brother is a superstar talent. He is box office, okay? I'm sorry. Now, don't get me wrong. Ain't no way in hell I'm giving him more than 1 year at a time in terms of guaranteed dollars. You do not give Kyrie Irving a long-term guaranteed contract because you can't trust him. You can't trust him to show up to work. But once he's at work, I'll take him over 90% of the league. It might be higher than that. He is that spectacular. And when you're the Knicks, as moribund and pathetic as you have been for so many years, what do I have? I'm supposed to sit up there and look forward to relying on Julius Randle? I like RJ Barrett. Don't get me wrong. Very impressed with his improvement. But if you're the Knicks, the success has been pretty pathetic. And the specter of what your future looks like doesn't look great either. If I got a chance to get Kyrie Irving walking into the Garden and I don't have to guarantee more than 1 year at a time, oh, I'm going to take that chance.
Well, I mean, I agree with him 100%, but you're not going to get him if you guarantee just 1 year. He's got that with the Nets now. So why would he leave the Nets and his buddy to go across town for a 1 year guarantee? The only way the Knicks are going to get him, which makes it a tough situation, is if they do give him a max guarantee contract. That's the only way. So that's the conundrum. I'd love to have Kyrie Irving on a 1 year deal. So with the Nets, he doesn't want to sign a 1 year deal.
Did anybody else notice how, like, he was able to jump gears, unless that was edited? What brilliance to go from, like, first, third, five. Like, he was skipping gears there.
Beautiful. Mega
just
talent.
An immense talent. Immense.
It may have been slightly edited, but let's not worry about that.
Don't ruin it.
Okay, back to what I was going to say about the
NBA.
Remember
when Stephen A. promised me that, you know, he was going to get me on First Take?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hasn't
happened. You say when.
Yeah.
It's not going
well,
anywhere.
I mean, what, when I was 90?
You gotta ask, though.
Especially now at 10 grand a pop.
Well, I don't think he was ever going to be offering you money to do it.
Well, listen, if I would do it once, I would become a once-a-week regular, let's be honest.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
You're not going to go full Russo.
No, no, I'm not going to not be me, but I'll be me, and me is good enough.
Ten grand a week? I love you.
Not worth the money. That's what you're saying.
Well, don't maybe put it that way, but I.
Well, that's
I,
listen, how you're putting it.
I did.
Peter
yeah,
just
I,
summed
I,
it
you
up.
Know, I was trying to do it in a nonverbal way, but since it's out, you're right. Do you think you're debate entertaining like Russo?
Yeah, I believe I am.
Okay.
Wow. Well, and Don, you know what I was thinking? I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but a lot of people say I have a striking resemblance to a very young George Clooney.
Okay.
Very young.
I just, Peter, just follow
like
my train of thought.
Like when he was at Facts of Life? Is that, that's a George
no,
Clooney?
No, no. Think Roseanne Clooney.
Oh, okay. That's a special Clooney.
Yeah, I've been told that's the Clooney I look like.
I just don't know if Steven would appreciate like every debate ending with, well, maybe it's time for me to go.
But that would be a thing. There'd be T-shirts with it. Maybe it's time for me to go.
I think we're going to have that T-shirt. That's a T-shirt I'm willing to guarantee we see at the Beach Bash this year.
Yes, we do see creative T-shirts. And
they're always creative T-shirts, and this year I'm expecting maybe it's time for me to go.
Yeah, I know!
That would be great.
Andrew, early thoughts on I Know in terms of a seat?
Oof.
On the spot.
I don't know, 6, 7, somewhere around there.
You're feeling good about it, though.
Yeah, I guess 6 or 7. Is that feeling good, you think?
Good.
That's, yeah,
yeah,
all
sure.
Right, sure.
Who
yeah,
doesn't
want to
be
good.
A 6 seed? A 6 seed, you know what that means? You were 21-9. You had a great year. Feeling good. Now, I just mentioned the NBA. I was listening to This American Life yesterday because I'm very smart. And they were doing a feature on basically the state of this country with regard to how everyone kind of thinks the system is rigged, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, candidates from both parties run under the idea that the system's rigged. Everything is a complaint about the system, and how that is also very, very true in sports, where the amount of jaw-jacking at referees is, like, at an all-time high. And it was really interesting. I had not thought about the perspective that essentially what they end up getting down to is that the reason it appears to be like that is not because there's really more of it, but because it's now a thing that the biggest stars in the league do.
Well, we believe the system's rigged, don't we? We always talk about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know if they were referring to radio ratings, but yes. I mean, in this case, we know the truth. But it was interesting, though, because and they actually interviewed Steve Kerr for the piece, because the guy who was doing the reporting, he lives in the Bay. His son idolizes the Warriors. And the reporter basically says to Steve Kerr, you know, my son idolizes your team, and I'm all good with that. They're all model people, with the exception of the fact that now when my son, when he plays basketball, he never stops huffing and puffing and yelling at the refs. But it's not just Draymond. They talked about how it's Clay and Steph too. It's really the whole nucleus of that team. And Kerr too. Kerr said like he's mortified by the way he acts, but he does it too. It was very interesting. I recommend it. And they got into how it's funny that it's at the jaw-jacking at the refs at an all-time high when they just in the last few years created the replay center in Secaucus. They're spending $15 million a year, guys, on that place to keep that running, to get an average of a correction of about 2 calls per game.
They've got the money. They're okay.
I was listening to This American Life yesterday because I'm very smart.
Don, I heard that Peter has removed all stations from his TV and streaming services except for PBS. That's how bright he is.
Really? And yep. NPR on radio.
No, no, I don't think he even wants NPR, just PBS.
No, you know what, guys? You want to hear something? You hear this?
I know!
You hear that pages? The pages flipping?
Yeah. Yeah. You're reading now.
That's the New Yorker magazine. Because, again,
I'm very smart.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Very smart.
I have a
subscription now for the last 5 months. It's piling up like I own a library. I've gotten through 4 articles total.
To the Atlantic next, that's going to show me something.
Oh. I think New Yorker is the highest level in terms of difficulty of article reading. Like, Don, you're like a real
so
article reader. You're a real, like, book reader.
Yes.
I'm going to bring you, next time I see you, one issue of the New Yorker. And I want the challenge to be for you to read it cover to cover, and I want you to tell me when you're done.
Okay. I'm sure it'll take a while.
It is. There are times when I'm reading the New Yorker and I'm going, wow, I need to do this. My brain is working. It's like doing push-ups with your brain. Let's talk about this Washington Commanders situation, Don, because I, more than ever, am starting to feel that the momentum is building to the end of the Daniel Snyder era. Remember last week, and I've said this many times, the Washington Post was not going to stop until this was over?
Right.
Well, the Washington Post was back on it again yesterday. Details of a sexual assault allegation made against Dan Snyder in 2009, reported yesterday by the Post, obtained a letter by an attorney working for the team. A woman accused Snyder of sexually harassing and assaulting her on a team plane in 2009. She was later paid, $1.6 million to settle. The woman's allegations and settlement were previously reported by the Post in December 2020, but the specific details of the allegations were not disclosed. The settlement had been previously revealed in legal filings related to more recent investigations of the team. The woman agreed not to sue the team or publicly disclose her allegations as part of the settlement. Snyder denied the woman's allegations, according to the attorney's letter, and a team investigation accused her of making up the claims in an attempt to extort him. Now, those contents of that letter were disclosed just a day before a scheduled hearing by the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, which is investigating the team. Roger Goodell is expected now to testify remotely. And let's hear from Roger Goodell on the Commanders' workplace environment.
You called the Commanders' workplace not only unprofessional but toxic for too long. Sir, in your view, is Dan Snyder's behavior and the workplace culture he created and fostered one of the worst and most toxic you've seen in your time as commissioner and your decades of service with the NFL?
I have not seen a workplace in the NFL that is anywhere near what we saw in the context of that period of time for the Washington Commanders.
Don.
Wow.
Could we be getting somewhere here?
Well, you also heard what else Roger Goodell said.
Go ahead.
That he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. Which means that's to say I work for the owners. So it's what we've been saying all along, is that it's not about Roger Goodell saying, okay, sell the team. He's got to get the other 31 owners to agree. And I think the momentum is starting to build there. The problem is he knows where all the bodies are hidden.
Dan
does. So if Dan wants to go down fighting, how many fires is Roger Goodell going to put out, and how many owners know this and would vote to keep him there? And then the other ones, just follow suit, because it's a very, very, very difficult club to get into. Only topped by getting thrown out. Like once you're in, you're in. You're part of the fraternity and you're protected. So how many owners have like skeletons in their closet that Dan be like, hoy, man, if you're going to be voting me out, well, Jerry, answer to this.
Well, the question is this...
Davis, answer to this.
Is this period of time, the long time that this is taking, does it give the other owners maybe enough time to get their ducks in a row to get comfortable with ousting him?
Because Roger's smart, and for him to say that's the most toxic, and Roger's been the commissioner for 20 years, right, at least. And he's been involved with the NFL even before then. He was an intern with the Jets back when Buttle played. So he's been around the NFL for 40 years. So for him to make that statement, it's out there now. Roger Goodell thinks it's the most toxic the NFL has been in 40 years. So if nothing's done about it, doesn't he get completely neutered? then, and if I'm the Players Association, be like, you've got some nerve suspending players when you said that the Snyder situation's the worst thing you've seen in 40 years, and he continues to own the team?
Great point.
So he's smart enough to know that by saying that and then saying, I don't have the power to do anything, is really putting the pressure on the owners to do something.
Very well said, Don. Very well said. Let's wrap up part one of ENN, brought to you by Sloman's. Give them a call right now. Protect your family. Keep your home safe. 1-800-ALARM-ME and get a free doorbell camera with your home security system. That's Sloman's, 1-800-ALARM-ME. A lot more to do. Let's get into some Max Scherzer and say goodbye to an old friend of the station and the NFL. We'll do that next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It is Peter and Don on the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. Yeah. Some more ENN business to tend to, Don. Lot to get to.
Sound like Dom there.
You think that was a Dom?
Sounded like a Dom.
I don't think it was a Dom. I don't think it was a Dom.
Well, I know it wasn't intentional because you clearly know what my name is.
Business to tend to, Don.
That's
Let me hear it again. That's close. That was very close. It might have business been. To tend to, Don.
Yeah, that's you know.
I think it's Don. I actually think it's Don, but it's close.
Ooh.
I do.
Well, Dom. Anthony, you cut it up. You're closer to it than anybody. What do you say?
This is like, you know, is the dress blue or gold? I heard Dom first. Now I hear Don.
See?
Once I get it in the system, we're going to have to keep playing it over and over again.
All right, yeah. Get it in there.
Excuse me?
That's correct. Don, you're a big Rumble Pony guy.
I was not really aware of the Binghamton nickname until today.
Oh, really? I thought we talked about it before.
Have we? Well, no, that's right. Didn't we get Michael a hat?
Yeah.
That's right. I thought it kind of sounded familiar, but I was, yeah, okay.
By the way, and my friend Zach is such a Mets nerd that he went to last night's AA Binghamton Rumble Pony baseball game.
That's a great idea. If I was close, it was about 2.5 hours outside the city.
It's not too far.
It'd be far for me because then it'll be 3.5 hours.
But he saw Max Scherzer throw 65 pitches in 3 1/3 in a rehab start, and he could return from the IL on Sunday to start against the Marlins in Miami, according to our guy Show Buckwalter.
I like that.
Buck said after the start Tuesday that Scherzer was healthy, checking all the boxes, and they would see how he felt today. By the way, after the game, my friend got a Rumble Pony ball signed by Scherzer as well.
Oh, not yet, because I heard he had signed autographs after, which is cool. That is, I mean, because I live close to the Patriots, so if there's ever like a Yankee that's got a rehab, that'd be kind of cool to check that out. How many times do you see like a major league ball player in a park that holds like 7,000 people where like every seat you feel like you're close?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. It is a good idea. Now, let's go back and hear if I said Don or Dom. Business to tend to, Dom.
No, I clearly hear Dom.
Business to tend to, Dom.
Now, Andrew is the arbiter of truth.
It's Dom. Boy, I think it's Dom. I think it's Don with an N.
Thank you.
But it's close.
Really close.
I hear Dom. Anthony says Dom. We're split.
this is very tough.
I mean, I don't. You got to run up the pole or anything, but you know it's.
I got to throw something out here, Don. As we start, Dom, I should say.
Now he's going to be referring to me for the next week as Don.
So Don. Oh, Don. Donna. I had a ghost. And Donna was his name.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
And I got to throw this out there. Andrew and Anthony, have either of you guys considered us putting together a live watch? Because, Don, it's getting there, right?
It really is.
What
it's
do you
every
think,
day.
Andrew? Is it there?
Are we at live watch?
Yes.
I think we're at live watch.
I think maybe I feel like it needs to get to a well. All right, yeah. You
it's
know what?
It's kind of
yeah,
a fever
fine.
Pitch.
Let's do it. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Lock it in. I mean, every day. Now we have Rory McIlroy commenting on Brooks Koepka, or as Mike calls him, Brooke Koepka-Kez, going to live. Here's Rory.
I surprised, yes, because of what he said previously. And I think that's why I'm surprised at a lot of these guys, because they say one thing and then they do another. And I don't understand that. And I don't know if that's for legal reasons or if they can't. I have no idea. But it's pretty duplicitous on their part to say one thing and then do another thing.
Oof.
That's pretty strong. Throwing out Jeff Passan words.
Duplicitous. Now, Liv, it has become official that Liv golfers can compete at St. Andrews, which is the home of the Open Championship.
So, am I wrong, Peter? This is not Don hating on golf with this statement.
Okay.
But if they're going to be allowed to play in the majors, so what? All right, the diehards will be upset, but really, overall, if these big names are playing in the four majors, is it a thing then?
Well, this is what you're saying is exactly what the PGA is terrified of. Because no, to the audience, it won't be a big deal. And people say, hey, I don't care. I'll get them in the majors and I don't really care about it. And that starts to hurt the PGA Tour week to week. Hurts the FedEx Cup point system. Hurts ratings. You know, over
time. So how is this going to affect the rankings?
I don't know. Yeah, and like, are wins? So, yeah, that's a really good point. It's a really good point.
Now, the playoffs are a PGA thing, right? So, those guys won't be able to play in the playoffs. But being number one in the world, is that independent of the PGA? Or are these guys going to be, is there going to be a PGA ranking, a LIV ranking?
No, we always care about PGA rankings.
Because there was only the PGA.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, what will then be the governing body of who is the number one golfer in the world? If the PGA is going to have theirs and LIV's going to have theirs, well, then somebody of some with some sort of a background, with some kind of credentials, will have to say, well, then I'm going to have my list, and that's what we're going to go by. Because you don't want to have, like, then it's going to be like an alphabet soup in boxing, right? Well, you got the WBC champion, the WBA champion, the WBO champion. I don't want to sit there and go, well, this guy's ranked number one in PGA. This guy's ranked number one in LIV. Who's number one in the world? And I would think that's important to these guys, isn't it?
So I'm looking right now at the FedEx Cup season standings for right now. Scottie Scheffler being number one, 3,459 points, four wins so far. Everyone's already ill. Hey, take a look at this, Anthony. I think Rahm didn't go, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, after that
right,
minute-long speech he had, I hope
right,
he wasn't going.
Rahm was one who's definitively not going. Everyone here now, they've removed everyone already. I'm not seeing one of the names that
see ya!
Has went to live.
He gone.
Because that determines the playoffs.
Oh, and wait, there's Brooks Koepka.
Well, he just left. So
he has no points. I mean, he has 412 points. He's not even in contention. But so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over time. But, yeah, this is why we need a watch. Because
but I don't think Brooks Koepka cares. Right.
Because there's either somebody jumping ship, or there's some news that comes from it almost every day. So that constitutes a watch. Matter of fact, I think we're late on it.
It's time to move. Meanwhile, a group of nearly 2,500
get me help
survivors of family members killed or injured on 9/11 have written an open letter to the PGA Tour, thanking members for remaining loyal to the tour and not joining the LIV Golf Invitational Series. Mm.
See, now that's where it kind of hits hard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, this isn't the platform for it, but let's just be honest, Don. The post 9/11, the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia has always been very complicated. I don't know if you recall this, but after 9/11, I'm pretty sure we didn't go to war with Saudi Arabia. So it's always been very complicated in terms of, you know, you knew that most of the terrorists were from Saudi Arabia, but there was no war with Saudi Arabia. It's been very complicated. This just opens a lot of wounds.
Well, no question. And we have to be sensitive to that. But what I would also say is it any more complicated than our relationship with China, our relationship with Russia? You know, so these are things that go on and on, where is everybody right now policing the NBA players that have relationships with what's happening in China, or, you know, what's going on with players in the NHL who are from Russia? Like, are we going to really go down and start figuring out, all right, where is everybody's money coming from? And I'm sure everybody's money could be coming from somewhere questionable. And at what point do you just throw up your hands and say, listen, you know, you go out, make a living, do the best you can. Our own government's got a relationship with Saudi Arabia.
I don't know,
Peter, because it's easy to pinpoint certain ones that are obvious. But if you were to investigate, you would probably be disgusted where some of the money is coming from. For everybody.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Real quick, we're going to break here and then close out with your phone calls at 1-800-919-3776.
Business to tend to, Dom.
Knicks guard Alec Burks had foot surgery. He's expected to be ready for the start of the season, according to Ian Begley. And lastly, we lost longtime Colt, longtime Raven, and friend of this radio station and so many in this business, the great Tony Siragusa, passed away at 55 years old. Here's Jeff Saturday on NFL Live.
Probably one of the most fun guys I ever had a chance to play against. You know, during timeouts, offensive linemen, defensive linemen can talk across the line of scrimmage. He was an incredible storyteller. And post-game, you get together, everybody talk. And he was just the life of every conversation. He had a huge personality. He could tell the greatest stories in a great amount of time. And he had everybody that Italian way, right? Like everybody was his brother. Nobody was a stranger. Absolutely loved the man. Devastated to hear the news. Prayers go out to his family and friends. Just awful news to hear.
Tony was in the league from 1990, drafted by the Colts, finished out his career after winning that 2000 Super Bowl with the Ravens, he retired after the 2001 season. We say rest in peace to Tony Siragusa, and that will do it for ENN. On this Wednesday, June 22nd, Peter and Don taking your calls next at 1-800-919-3776. It's the K-Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.